importance of the canvassing work. Very much more efficient work can be done in the canvassing field than has yet been done. The canvasser should not rest satisfied unless he is constantly improving. He should make thorough preparation, but should not be content with a set form of words. He should give the Lord a chance to work with his efforts and impress his mind. The love of Jesus abiding in his heart will enable him to devise means to gain access to individuals and families. Canvassers need self-culture and polished manners, not the affected and artificial manners of the world, but the agreeable manners that are the natural result of kindness of heart and a desire to copy the example of Christ. They should cultivate thoughtful, caretaking habits, habits of industry and discretion, and should seek to honor God by making of themselves all that it is possible for them to become. Jesus made an infinite sacrifice to place them in right relations to God and to their fellow men, and divine aid combined with human effort will enable them to reach a high standard of excellence. The canvasser should be chaste like Joseph, meek like Moses, and temperate like Daniel, then a power will attend him wherever he goes. If the canvasser pursues a wrong course, if he utters falsehood or practices deception, he loses his own self-respect. He may not be conscious that God sees him and is acquainted with every business transaction, that holy angels are weighing his motives and listening to his words, and that his reward will be according to his works. But if it were possible to conceal his wrongdoing from human and divine inspection, the fact that he himself knows it is degrading to his mind and character. One act does not determine the character, but it breaks down the barrier, and the next temptation is more readily entertained, until finally a habit of prevarication, dishonesty, and business is formed, and the man cannot be trusted. There are too many in families and in their churches who make too little account of glaring inconsistencies. There are young men who appear what they are not. They seem honest and true, but they are like whited sepulchres, fair without, but corrupt to the core. The heart is spotted, stained with sin, and thus the record stands in the heavenly courts. A process has been going on in the mind that has made them callous, past feeling. But if their characters weighed in the balances of the sanctuary are pronounced wanting in the great day of God, it will be a calamity that they do not now comprehend. Truth, precious, untarnished truth, is to be a part of the character. Whatever way is chosen, the path of life is beset with perils. If the workers in any branch of the cause become careless and inattentive to their temporal interests, they are meeting with great loss. The tempter will find access to them. He will spread nets for their feet and will lead them in uncertain paths. Those only are safe whose hearts are garrisoned with pure principles. Like David, they will pray, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." A constant battle must be kept up with selfishness and corruption of the human heart. Often the wicked seem to be prospered in their way, but those who forget God even for an hour or a moment are in a dangerous path. They may not realize its perils, but ere they are aware, habit, like an iron band, holds them in subjection to the evil with which they have tampered. God despises their course, and his blessing will not attend them. I have seen that young men undertake this work without connecting themselves with heaven. They place themselves in the way of temptation to show their bravery. They laugh at the folly of others. They know the right way. They know how to conduct themselves. How easily they can resist temptation. How vain to think of their falling. But they make not God their defense. Satan has an insidious snare prepared for them, and they themselves become the sport of fools. Our great adversary has agents that are constantly hunting an opportunity to destroy souls as a lion hunts his prey. Shun them, young man, for while they appear to be your friends, they will slyly introduce evil ways and practices. They flatter you with their lips and offer to help and guide you, but their steps take hold on hell. If you listen to their counsel, it may be the turning point in your life. One safeguard removed from the conscience, the indulgence of one evil habit, a single neglect of the high claims of duty, may be the beginning of a course of deception that will pass you into the ranks of those who are serving Satan. while you are all the time professing to love God and His cause. In a moment of thoughtfulness, a single misstep may turn the whole current of your lives in the wrong direction, and you may never know what caused your ruin until the sentence is pronounced, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Some young men know that what I have said fairly describes their course. Their ways are not hidden from the Lord, although they may be hidden from their best friends, even their father and mother. I have little hope that some of these will ever change their course of hypocrisy and deception. Others who have erred are seeking to redeem themselves. May the dear Jesus help them to set their faces as a flint against all falsehoods and the flatteries of those who would weaken their purpose to do right, or who would insinuate doubts or infidel sentiments to shake their faith in the truth.
Young friends, do not spend an hour in the company of those who would unfit you for the pure and sacred work of God. Do nothing before strangers that you would not do before your father and mother, or that you would be ashamed of before Christ and the holy angels. Some may think these cautions are not needed by Sabbath keepers, but those to whom they apply know what I mean. I tell you, young man, beware, for you can do nothing that is not open to the eyes of the angels and of God. You cannot do an evil work and others not be affected by it. While your course of action reveals what kind of material is used in your character building, it also has a powerful influence over others. Never lose sight of the fact that you belong to God and that He has bought you with a price, and you must render an account to Him for all His entrusted talents. No one should have any part in the work of the canvasser or call porter whose hand is defiled with sin or whose heart is not right with God, for such persons will surely dishonor the cause of truth. Those who are workers in the missionary field should need God to guide them. They should be careful to start right and then keep quietly and firmly on the path of rectitude. They should be decided, for Satan is determined and persevering in his efforts to overthrow them. A mistake has been made in soliciting subscriptions for our periodicals for only a few weeks, when by a proper effort, much longer subscriptions might have been obtained. One yearly subscription is of more value than many for a short time. When the paper is taken for only a few months, the interest often ends with a short subscription. Few renew their subscriptions for a longer period, and thus there is a large outlay of time that brings small returns, when with a little more tact and perseverance, yearly subscriptions might have been obtained. You strike too low, brethren. You are too narrow in your plans. You do not put into your work all the tact and perseverance that it deserves. There are more difficulties in this work than in some other branches of business, but the lessons that will be learned, the tact and discipline that will be acquired, will fit you for other fields of usefulness where you may minister to souls. Those who poorly learn their lessons and are careless and abrupt in approaching persons would show the same defects of manner, the same want of tact and skill in dealing with minds should they enter the ministry. While short subscriptions are accepted, some will not make the effort necessary to obtain them for a longer time. Canvassers should not go over the ground in a careless, unconcerned manner. They should feel that they are God's workmen, and the love of souls should lead them to make every effort to enlighten men and women in regard to the truth. Providence and grace, means and ends, are closely connected. When His laborers do the very best they can, God does for them that which they cannot do for themselves. But no one need expect to succeed independently and by his own exertions. There must be activity united with firm trust in God. Economy is needed in every department of the Lord's work. The natural turn of youth in this age is to neglect and despise economy, and to confound it with stinginess and narrowness. But economy is consistent with the most broad and liberal views and feelings. There can be no true generosity where it is not practiced. No one should think it beneath him to study economy and the best means to take care of the fragments. Said Christ, after he had performed a notable miracle, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Quite a sum may be expended in hotel bills that are not at all necessary. The cause of God lay so near the heart of the pioneers in this message that they seldom took a meal at a hotel, even though the cost was but 25 cents each. But young men and women generally are not educated to economize, and waste follows waste everywhere. In some families, there is a wicked waste of enough to support another family if reasonable economy were used. If, while traveling, our youth will keep an exact account of the money they expend, item by item, their eyes will be open to see the leaks. While they may not be called upon to deprive themselves of warm meals, as the early workers did in their itinerant life, they may learn to supply their real wants with less expense than they now think necessary. There are persons who practice self-denial in order to give means to the cause of God. Then let the workers in the cause also practice self-denial by limiting their expenses as far as possible. It would be well for all our workers to study the history of the Waldensian missionaries and to imitate their example of sacrifice and self-denial. We have a grand work to do for the Master, to open the Word of God to those who are in the darkness of error. Young friends, act as though you had a sacred charge. You should be Bible students, ever ready to give to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. By your true Christian dignity, give evidence that you know you have a truth that is for the interest of the people to hear. If this truth is inwrought in the soul, it will manifest itself in the countenance and demeanor, in a calm, noble self-possession and peace which the Christian alone can possess. Those who have genuine humility and whose minds have been expanded by the truths unfolded in the gospel will have an influence that will be felt. They will make an impression upon minds and hearts, and they will be respected by the larger number, even of those who have no sympathy with their faith. With the truths of the Bible and our valuable papers, they will have success, for the Lord will open the way before them. But to urge our papers upon the people by means of gifts and premiums does not have a permanent influence for good. If our workers would go forth relying upon the truths of the Bible and with the love of Christ and souls in their hearts, they would accomplish more in obtaining permanent subscribers than by depending upon premiums or low prices. The prominence given to these inducements to take the paper gives the impression that it cannot possess real merit in itself. The results would be better if the paper were made prominent and the money spent for premiums were reserved to distribute a few copies free. When premiums are offered, some may be induced to take the paper who otherwise would not, but others will refuse to subscribe because they think it a speculation. If the canvasser would present the merits of the paper itself with his heart uplifted to God for success and would depend less upon premiums, more would be accomplished. In this age, the trivial is praised and magnified. There is a call for anything that will create a sensation and make sales. The country is flooded with utterly worthless publications which are written for the sake of making money, while really valuable books are unsold and unread. Those who handle this sensational literature because by so doing they can make higher wages are missing a precious opportunity to do good. There are battles to be fought to arrest the attention of men and women and interest in them in really valuable books that have the Bible for their foundation, and it will be a still greater task to find conscientious, God-fearing workers who will enter the field to canvass for these books for the purpose of diffusing light. The worker who has the cause of God at heart will not insist on receiving the highest wages. He will not plead, as some of our youth have done, that unless he can make a stylish and elegant appearance and board at the best hotels, he will not be patronized. What the canvasser needs is not the faultless apparel or the address of the dandy or the clown, but that honesty and integrity of character which is reflected in the countenance. Kindness and gentleness leave their impress upon the face, and the practiced eye sees no deception, detects no pomposity of manner. A large number have entered the field as canvassers with whom premiums are the only means of success. They have no real merit as workers. They have no experience in practical religion. They have the same faults, the same taste and self-indulgences that characterized them before they claimed to be Christians. Of them it may be said that God is not in their thoughts. He has no abiding place in their hearts. There is a littleness, an earthliness, a debasement in their character and deportment that testifies against them, that they are walking in the way of their own hearts and in the sight of their own eyes. They will not practice self-denial, but are determined to enjoy life. The heavenly treasure has no attractions for them. All their tastes are downward, not upward. Friends and relatives cannot elevate such persons, for they have not a mind to despise the evil and choose the good. The less we trust these persons, who are not few but many, the better will the work of present truth stand in the eyes of the world. Our brethren should show discretion in selecting canvassers and call porters, unless they have made up their minds to have the truth misapprehended and misrepresented. They should give all real workers good wages, but the sum should not be increased to buy canvassers, for this course hurts them. It makes them selfish and spendthrifts. Seek to impress them with a spirit of true missionary work and with the qualifications necessary to ensure success. The love of Jesus in the soul will lead the canvasser to feel it is a privilege to labor to diffuse light. He will study, plan, and pray over the matter. Young men are wanted who are men in understanding, who appreciate the intellectual faculties that God has given them and cultivate them with the utmost care. Exercise enlarges these faculties, and if heart culture is not neglected, the character will be well balanced. The means of improvement are within the reach of all. Let none disappoint the master when he comes seeking for fruit by presenting nothing but leaves. A resolute purpose sanctified by the grace of Christ will do wonders. Jesus and holy angels will give success to the efforts of intelligent, God-fearing men who do all in their power to save souls. Quietly, modesty, with a heart overflowing with love, let them seek to win minds to investigate the truth and engage in Bible readings when they can. By so doing, they will be sowing the seed of truth beside all waters, showing forth the praises of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. Those who are doing this work from right motives are doing an important work of ministering. They will manifest no feeble, undecided character. Their minds are enlarging. Their manners are becoming more refined. They should place no bounds to their improvement, but every day should be better fitted to do good work. Many of the workers in the canvassing field are making no sacrifices. As a class, they have less of the missionary spirit than the workers in any other denomination. When the way is all prepared for them, when they can command the highest wages, then they are willing to enter the field. Many inducements are presented to canvassers to handle popular books. Large wages are offered, and many refuse to work for less wages to circulate books treating on present truth. Therefore, the inducements have been increased to correspond with those offered by other publishers, and as a consequence, the expense of getting our publications before the people is large. Many of the canvassers obtain their money easily and spend it freely. Among the people professing present truth, there is not a missionary spirit corresponding with our faith. The ring of the true gold in character is wanting. Christian life is more than they take it to be. It does not consist in mere gentleness, patience, meekness, and kindness. These graces are essential, but there is need of courage, force, energy, and perseverance also. Many who engage in the work of canvassing are weak, nerveless, spiritless, easily discouraged. They lack push. They have not those positive traits of character that give men power to do something, the spirit and energy that kindle enthusiasm. The canvasser is engaged in an honorable business, and he should not act as though he were ashamed of it. If he should have success, attend his efforts, he would be courageous and hopeful. The active virtues must be cultivated as well as the passive. The Christian, while he is ever ready to give the soft answer that turneth away wrath, must possess the courage of a hero to resist evil. With the charity that endureth all things, he must have the force of character which will make his influence a positive power for good. Faith must be wrought into his character. His principles must be firm. He must be noble-spirited, above all suspicion of meanness. The canvasser must not be self-inflated. As he associates with men, he must not make himself conspicuous, talking of himself in a boastful way, for by this course he would disgust intelligent, sensible people. He must not be selfish in his habits, nor overbearing and domineering in his manners. Very many have settled it in their minds that they cannot find time to read 1 in 10,000 of the books that are published and put upon the market. In many cases, when the canvasser makes known his business, the door of the heart closes firmly. Hence the great need of doing his work with tact and in a humble, prayerful spirit. He should be familiar with the Word of God and have words at His command to unfold the precious truth and to show the great value of the pure reading matter he carries. Well may everyone feel an individual responsibility in his work. Well may he consider how he may best arrest the attention. For his manner of presenting the truth may decide the destiny of a soul. If he makes a favorable impression, his influence may be to that soul a savor of life unto life. And that one person enlightened in regard to the truth may enlighten others. Therefore, it is dangerous to do careless work in dealing with minds. The canvassing work is God's means of reaching many people that would not otherwise be impressed with the truth. The work is a good one, the object high and elevating, but there should be a corresponding dignity of deportment. The canvasser will meet men of varied minds. He will meet those who are ignorant and debased and can appreciate nothing that does not bring them money. These will be abusive, but he should not heed them. His good nature will never fail. He should take a cheerful, hopeful view of every perplexity. He will meet those who are bereaved, disheartened, and sore, and wounded in spirit. He will have many opportunities of speaking to these kind words and words of courage, hope, and faith. He may be a wellspring to refresh others if he will, but in order to do this, he must himself draw from the fountain of living truth. The canvassing work is more important than many have regarded it, and as much care and wisdom must be used in selecting the workers as in training, as in selecting men for the ministry. Young men can be trained to do much better work than has been done, and on much less pay than many have received. Lift up the standard and let the self-denying and the self-sacrificing, the lovers of God and of humanity, join the army of workers. Let them come, not expecting ease, but to be brave and of good courage under rebuffs and hardships. Let these come who can give a good report of our publications because they themselves appreciate their value. May the Lord help everyone to improve to the utmost the talents committed to His trust. Those who work in this cause do not study their Bibles as they should. If they did, His practical teachings would have a positive bearing upon their lives. Whatever your work may be, dear brethren and sister, do it as for the Master and do your best. Do not overlook present golden opportunities and let your life prove a failure while you sit idly dreaming of ease and success in a work for which God has never fitted you. Do the work that is nearest you. Do it even though it may be amid perils and hardships in the missionary field. But do not, I beg of you, complain of hardships and self-sacrifices. Look at the Walden Seas. See what plans they devised that the light of the gospel might shine into benighted minds. We should not labor with the expectation of receiving our reward in this life, but with our eyes fixed steadfastly upon the prize at the end of the race. Men and women are wanted now who are as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men and women who will work without having their way smoothed and every obstacle removed. I have described what canvassers ought to be, and may the Lord open their minds to comprehend this subject in its length and breadth, and may they realize their duty to represent the character of Christ by their patience, courage, and steadfast integrity. Let them remember that they can deny Him by a loose, lax, undecided character. Young men, if you would take these principles with you into the canvassing field, you will be respected, and many will believe the truth you advocate, because you live your faith, because your daily life is as a bright light set upon a candlestick which giveth light to all that are in the house. Even your enemies, as much as they war against your doctrines, will respect you, and when you have gained this much, your simple words will have a power and will carry conviction to hearts.